Y'all may be seated. I remember the first time we heard that song, we were on our way to the beach. And that thing started playing, and that was a year Shelby Sams went with us to the beach. She and Jalen sat in the back seat along with our little dog, who we had just gotten. She's no bigger than this. And that thing played, and it sort of piqued my interest. And then an hour later in the car, it played again. And the girls started singing along with it a little bit. And I'm like, going, I told Julie, I said, you need to remember the name of that song. Because I said, we're going to have to see if we can get hold of that thing. And I love that song. It lays her flat out there, doesn't it? There's so much to be thankful for through the cross and the blood that was shed on that cross. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Last week, Mark brought us the sermon where we talked about the old covenant and the way things were done there. And we talked about symbolic worship and how we don't need to be falling into that. That sometimes we just come into worship and we're here because it's something that we check off of our list. But we have so much to be thankful for what was offered through this new covenant. And we're going to take a look at that today. We're going to take a look at the cross. And we're going to take a look at what all that entailed. And, we will not get too much into it, all right? Let's go ahead and we'll read the scripture, and then we'll come back, we'll sing two more songs, and then we'll get into this, all right? So this is Hebrews 9:11-28. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered him without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, who took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then, when he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all to the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ has been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this scripture. And we thank you that you replaced the old covenant with the new. And Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed on the cross for us. so that we could have this covenant, that your Son gave his life for us so that this new covenant would take place and take effect. And Father, we're thankful that your Spirit is here with us now, in and among us. And Lord, we just pray that as we continue with our worship, that Lord, you would just have your Spirit help us to lift your name this morning. Father, as we continue on later on with your message, Father, I pray that you would help me to focus on your Spirit. And Father, just once again, that you would just, I would be an open vessel and that your words would pour. Father, I just thank you so much for who you are, and Father, what you have done in my life, and Father, what you have done in the lives of many here. Father, open hearts this morning to hear your message and respond to what your Spirit is going to do. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. You know, you would think that the one who plans all the music and everything, you know, would have a heads up on what the sermon is going to be about, you know, because Mark and I sit down and we plan out how we're breaking up the scripture and all that. So I more or less knew that I was going to be preaching on this section of scripture. So I've been reading all week long, you know, and reading different sermons from different people. And once again, y'all know I make no bones about one of my favorite to read is Spurgeon. I like Tozer. I mean, there's a lot of different people that I'll pull from. There's another one that's called An Unexpected Commentary that I like to read and all that. But anyway, I'm reading all this week. And God and I have this relationship where I'll read and he'll start working on the brain, but sometimes it's not until all Friday night when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're going, here's where we're going. Forgetting, really, that the music was wrapped around the blood and the cross for this week. And so God just has a way of even working that in simple minds, like the one that you're going to see up here this morning. So anyway, we are focusing this morning. Once again, we're going to take a look. That this scripture is intermingled with the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And so we're going to break it down at first, and we're going to take a look. So the scripture are going to be, we're going to start out with 12 through 13. We're going to jump to another section of scripture that mainly deals with the Old Covenant and what was expected from the Old Covenant and the way it worked. And then we're going to jump to the New. And we're going to talk about that sacrifice that was made for us on the cross. So let's start. So the Old Covenant sacrifices, okay? And once again, these actual verses will be laced with some of the New Covenant, but it's important that we see them as well as what was expected for the Old Covenant. So with the New Covenant. So Hebrews 9, 12, 13. He entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctified the purification of the flesh. Now, we need to do a little sidebar here, all right, where it talks about the ashes of the heifer. One of the things that they did, and they did this outside the temple, was they would sacrifice a red heifer. And they would take the ashes, they would burn the heifer there, and the ashes would remain there. And so if somebody found themselves to have sinned, and they knew that they sinned, under the Old Covenant, they were supposed to send a friend who was clean to go get some of the ashes. They were to mix them with water, and then they were to take that to the house or the tent where this person lived. They were to sprinkle the tent, and they were to put the ashes on the person as well. And 7 days after this was done, the person was supposed to have been purified of their sin after that. However, think about this. In order to have that forgiveness, that purification, you had to ask somebody to go get it for you. You had to ask somebody because you were impure. You couldn't go do that and basically go through the stuff yourself. You had to go somebody and you had to ask someone to go through that for you and go through that for 7 days. And then once the 7 days were over, you could get back amongst the people. Moving on to 18 through 22. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled the blood, both the tent, or sprinkled with the blood, both the tent and all the vessels used for worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So the old covenant, once again, here the scripture is talking about the sacrifices that were made to consecrate the temple and the items which were used in it. It also speaks a little bit to the sacrifices which were offered on behalf of man for man's sin. If you read Leviticus, if you've ever taken the time to read through Leviticus, you're going to get a lot of what the priests were supposed to do and what their duties were and the sacrifices that they were supposed to offer. And almost every one of those, like it said, almost every one of those dealt with the death of an animal. Somehow an animal was brought in and the animal was killed and there was shedding of the blood. While the high priest was the only one who went into the Holy of Holies once a year, there were other sacrifices that were happening year-round. Year-round in this place. So just think about that. All the animals that were being sacrificed on behalf of the people of Israel. In order for a man or for man to be cleansed, there had to be a death. There had to be a death. There had to be the shedding of blood. It's all throughout this scripture here. There has to be shedding of blood. There has to be a death. We don't want to picture what it looked like within the temple. Think about the animals as they're being led into there. How many? Anybody ever been into a meat processing plant where they bring the animals in and they do that? Some of y'all are hunters in here, and you know exactly what I'm talking about when you go through and you process your deer and you go through that, through, you know, draining the blood and all. I mean, it's nasty. Okay, would Rick tell you that he's ever been? No, I have not. Would I like to? Maybe. To illustrate what this is today, it would really be something to go in and see. It really would. But you think about the way that these, if you want to call them slaughterhouses, whatever you want to, you think about the way that they are designed today. They're designed to take care of, well, the blood and all that, everything. They're designed to take care of that quickly. Okay? It's not like it was back in Old Testament times. And so you think about what that temple looked like with all the sacrifices that were being made and all the blood sacrifices that were being made. It is not a pretty picture, and it's not one that we picture a lot of times in our heads, but it's there. And it's the way things had to be done. We don't want to picture the gore that was part of these rituals. If I lived during that time and was of the Jewish faith, that was the covering for my sin. Something had to die for my sin. We want to look at it, you know, we want to look at it as a, you know, think about this too. What did that animal do to deserve that? What did the animal do? The animal was born. The animal was supposed to be without blemish. It was supposed to be, if y'all that are farmers, You think about what God was asking you to do. He was asking you to bring one of your prized animals. You're one that would win a state prize at the 4-H fair. You're going to bring that thing in, and you're going to slaughter it for your sin. And you don't get anything from that other than it paid for your sin. There's no pain. Okay, yeah, you do. You get forgiveness of your sin, which was a huge, you know, that's huge, right? But that animal did nothing. It would have been something that would have been worth a lot to you. Now, these pictures, if you're thinking about that, and while people are leading those animals in for this, it's not easy for us to see, especially those of us that are animal lovers, okay? Now, listen, I'm not crazy enough. When I say I'm an animal lover, I love my dog. She is, I mean, we have a good time together. However, I realize that a cow has to die in order for me to eat that hamburger. I'm thankful for that cow dying for my hamburger, okay? I'm not gonna go all crazy, but I love animals. I see people when they say that they've lost an animal. Oh heavens, on YouTube, there's this one where they've got this little puppy on the little things that you go through, and its little eyes are up and looking at you saying, "Take me home." And my heart pulls. I love animals. I've got a soft spot in my heart for them. And imagine if you're raising these animals and you're taking them to sacrifice for your sins and for the sins of others. And you're watching them lead that animal back for your sin. We don't want to picture that. We don't want to see that. So let's move on to the new covenant, because that's where we really want to focus. The new covenant sacrifice. There is no S on the end of that. It is one, and that's all it is. Isn't it nice to see it gone? We're going to take a look at the scripture in this passage that talks about the sacrifice Christ made for us. Some of this is going to repeat what you've heard before, but they are important for where we're going to be going with this today. So let's take a look at verses 11 and 12, and somehow they got deleted up here, so I'm going to read them for you, and then we'll go on to verses 14 through 17. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and made more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. His blood is what he took with him into the Holy of Holies for us. His blood. Now, moving on to 14 and 17. How much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of the new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Now think about that. We're talking about the new covenant that God is making with man. Wouldn't it have been nice if all Jesus had to do was shed some blood? He could have been hung on the cross. They could have taken him down. We could have just drained enough, and then our sins would have been taken care of. But that isn't the whole picture. Because, see, in order for the new covenant to take place, in order for this to be able to be established, there had to be a death. Christ not only had to shed his blood for us, he had to die for us. He had to offer himself. We're going to jump on to verses 23 through 26. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Even with the new covenant, once again, there had to be a blood sacrifice. There had to be a death. The difference with this death was Jesus knew exactly what he was doing and when he was offering himself for us. Once again, think about the animals. The animals, when they were led into the temple for the sacrifice, had no idea what was going to happen. They were led in and they were given as the sacrifice. They had no clue. They couldn't conceive what was going to happen. Their brain wasn't capable of reasoning it out and seeing what all was going on around them. Typically as well, the animals would not have been tortured on their way in. They would have been taken in and they would have been killed. Wrote it down here, the animal was brought in for the sacrifice and the deed was done. What we're getting to what the picture that I'm going to paint for you here is not going to be pretty. And once again, it's not something that we like to look at. I believe I mentioned in here before the movie that depicted Christ's crucifixion several years ago, The Passion. You know, if you look at that, that's what we need to picture. This was not a pretty thing that was happening. You think about when all this started taking place, when Jesus was arrested, all right? And of course, Pilate doesn't want anything to do with them, so he turns them over to Herod. And Herod is there, and what do? They basically humiliate him in front of people. They make him, they put a crown on his head, they put a robe on him, and they're making fun of him while he is there in front of them. He is being emotionally humiliated. A person who was in power and had great influence over his people is making fun of Jesus. And Jesus knew exactly what was happening. As he was brought out in front of the crowds after that, and Pilate asked the crowds who they would rather have crucified, whether that was Barabbas, who had committed a crime, or Jesus. And the crowd who a few days earlier, who were screaming, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," are now screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Once again, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He was beaten and whipped with what was known. He was whipped with what was known as a cat of nine tails. If you've read this scripture before and you know what it is, it's basically a whip that has nine straps on it, and they tie glass or rock, something sharp, so that when it hits you, it's not just hitting you to bruise you. It's hitting you to root flesh. He was tortured beyond anything we could ever imagine today. His body now physically and emotionally bruised by all that has taken place. Not only did he grasp what was going on, because he was part of the Trinity, he knew exactly where this was going to lead. So in your heads right now, you're thinking, Rick, you've got to stop this. This is just too much. I don't want to picture it anymore. I don't want to see this. This is not what I want to hear about. Listen. Too many times we slough over the blood. Too many times we keep that back here and we keep that in. We know it's there. We know it's there. But we don't want to look at it. We don't want to realize. We don't want to realize the sacrifice, the price that was paid for our sins. We just don't want to see that. But we all need to look at it and realize the price he paid even before he was hung on the cross. Every one of these steps down this road was a choice that Jesus made to continue. You realize that he could have stopped at any time. He was the Son of God. He could have called the angels down and said, "This is enough. It's too much. I can't do this." But he loved us that much. After being physically and emotionally beaten, as was tradition, he was made to carry his own cross to the place where he would be crucified. His body had paid such a toll from what all had gone on that he actually needed help to carry the cross. He was then placed on the cross with the nails through his hands. And you saw a bit of that on that video up there. In feet. I remember many, many years ago. This, you know, I usually talk about when I worked with the youth group. This was back when I was in a youth group and at a church camp. And they had us take nails. And they had us shove them into our hands. Now understand, those nails are nice and pointy and, you know, all that. And you take that nail and it's small. But you take that and you start pressing it in your hand. And you listen, you're a youth and you're a guy. And you want to prove that you're all that. So you're pushing it as hard as you can. But there comes a point where you say, ouch. And you stop. The nails weren't made like that back then. They weren't pointy. They weren't small. Think about. He's laying there on the cross and they're putting those nails in his hands. Some people will tell you it was lower so that it would hold his weight. They put them through his feet. And he was hung. Or he was crucified, sorry, not hung. It was one of the most horrible forms of execution at the time that they had. They saved it for the worst of criminals. They saved it for the worst of the worst. Yet Jesus, who was without blemish, who was without sin, was crucified. He was crucified there on that cross, while the guards were down below him, casting lots for his clothes. And even in the midst of that, what does he pray? Father, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. Through all that, his mind is still on us. His mind is still on them. And towards the end of all that's going on, we know that his side was pierced. It says his side was pierced for our transgressions. And he's coming to the end. And he's getting ready to die. And when that instance comes, he is taking on our sin. He is putting on our sin. And we have talked about how his Father cannot look on us without the redemptive work of Christ's blood. And so Christ takes our sins and puts it on him. And what did his Father have to do? He had to turn away. And for the first time, Christ experienced what it was to be alone. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" For the first time. Listen, we can't even say since the dawn of creation, for the first time, he was alone. But all along through this, he knew it was going to come to this. He knew it. But yet he chose to walk it. And then he died. And at that point, the most horrific and most unjust execution which has or ever will take place was transformed into the most beautiful gift that can ever be given to mankind, because our Savior died on that cross and he shed his blood for our sins, taking them upon himself, which was nothing that we deserved, but he loved us that much, and so did his Father, that they provided this way for us. And isn't it amazing that that transformation took place on the cross? And that's the same thing that happens to us when we accept him as Lord and Savior of our lives. We were dead, but now we're alive through Christ. The veil was completely ripped from top to bottom, and the Holy of Holies was no more, because now we can come to God on our own, not having to go through a priest or anything, but through the Holy Spirit that God provided for us. Hebrews 9:27-28, "And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. No longer do we have to offer sacrifices every year, or sacrifice for our sin, or do we need to go and have a friend get the ashes from the fire where the heifer was burnt and put water in it and sprinkle it on our house and put it on ourselves and stay away from people for 7 days. No longer do we have to do those things, because the sacrifice has been made once and for all. We no longer have to do those things. For those who have accepted Christ, that gift that he offered on the cross for our salvation, all our sins, Christ entered the holy place and stood before his Father with his own blood. Not the blood of somebody else, not the blood of animals, his. And He pays the price for our sins. He makes the sacrifice. And once again, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And he comprehended the entire picture from beginning to end. He knew it. Christ knew without the cross and enduring the physical and emotional beatings that he took, he knew he would have to take the sins of mankind on himself and for the first time have his Father turn his back on him. He knew without all of this that we were doomed. There was nothing that we could do, and he laid down his life for us. Even though we're the ones that messed it up. And you think about this. I love the picture in that last thing, because when he comes again, it's not to cover sin anymore, is it? Because he's coming for us. If we have been redeemed in Christ through the blood of the Lamb, he is returning for us. Way back when I was in college, and maybe you've had this a dream like this before, but I remember this distinctly. I went to Alderson Broaddus in Philippi, West Virginia, and I was dreaming that I was in a education class. Dr. Guerrero was the teacher, the professor. And I'm sitting there, and we're in class, and all of a sudden, the chapel bells started going crazy. I'm like, what is going on? And then I see one of my friends up front, because I was a back row Baptist even in class, okay? So I see one of my friends up front, and they start rising. I see another friend starting to go up. I see another. And I remember in the dream I was thinking, no, wait a minute. I thought it was supposed to be a trumpet, not chapel bells. I see another and another. And then the thought was, hey, wait a minute. Why am I not? And about the time I started feeling like I was starting to rise was the time I woke up from the dream. But that dream, listen, was clear back in 1985. And I'm still describing that dream just as clearly to you as it was to me when I had that dream. Folks, think about that. That dream is still here, but guess what? It's not going to compare anything to the real thing when it happens. When God comes for us, it's going to be amazing. And Christ laid down his life for us. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Once again, it's because he comprehended the whole thing, and he knew that without his sacrifice, that we were doomed, that we would not be able to meet the requirements of the old covenant. And so the new covenant had to be established for mankind. When it comes time for our judgment, our life will be laid out on display for all to see that are there standing before the judgment throne of God. We've got Christ. We've got Jesus over here. And he's going through the book of life. And he's saying, hold on a minute. Their names recorded right here. Their sins are forgiven. I can't imagine the entire thing, but I do not imagine Judge Judy, but I imagine God up there and he takes the hammer down and says, you're forgiven. Welcome to heaven, my child. Welcome. How awesome is that going to be? Do you know that you're going to hear those words? Have you ever accepted the gift that Christ offered for you on that cross? What all he went through. Listen, if I had been the only person on earth, Jesus would have gone through that for me. If I was the only person left, he would have made that sacrifice because he loves me that much. And he loves you that much. And he has provided a way for salvation for you through his blood, through the sacrifice of the cross. And so do you know today that you're going to hear those words, welcome, because your name has been recorded in the book of life. You have admitted you were a sinner. You believe that God is the Son of God and that Jesus is the Son of God. And he paid that sacrifice for you on the cross. And you have confessed your sins before him. And now you're trying to learn more about him and be more like him. How many of you all can say that for sure? And if you can, amen, brother. That's where we're heading. But if not, I'd love to share with you. I would love to sit down and share with you. Heaven is going to be better than any day that you could ever imagine here on earth. Maybe you've accepted that gift, but maybe you just never really thought about what has happened and the sacrifice that was made for you, and you just want to thank God again for that. Maybe you just haven't been living the life that you feel like you should be, and you need to get closer to God. If that's the case, absolutely. Pay attention to the Spirit this morning. The beautiful thing in all of this is, guess what? You don't have to prepare anything. You don't have to prepare anything. A lot of times we like say, oh, I got to get this together. God's not ready for me yet. I've got to do some things here to straighten this up. Uh-uh. You don't have to do a thing because God accepts you right where you are. And then he begins the work. Then he begins. But understand, there is coming a day of judgment. There will come a day when he looks at the book of life. If you're struggling with whether you need to accept Christ today, please talk with someone. You do not have to talk with me. There are many people in this congregation that would love to talk with you and share all this with you. Don't wait too late. If you need to come forward and pray, if you want me to pray with you, I will be here. If you want to pray at the altar, these steps are our altar. You can come down and pray there. If you need to pray for somebody that you've been witnessing to and that God would just provide you the words or somebody to share with that person, that's what this is for. Most of all, once again, all I ask you to do is be obedient to what the Spirit is asking you to do today. If you're online and you've had the Holy Spirit's working on you, call our church office. We'll get in touch with you. Send us a messenger or a message on Messenger. We would be more than happy to sit down and talk with you, hook up a way that we can get together. But understand, you all are not left alone out there as well. We can talk with you. Don't feel that way. Folks, today, be obedient to what the Spirit wants you to do. Father, we thank you so much for your sacrifice. We thank you for the blood that was shed for us. Father, we thank you for, oh my goodness, the beatings, the torture that you took for us, whether that was emotional, whether it was physical. Father, you stood there and you took all that for us. For me. Father, thank you. Father, thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, thank you that you have provided this way of redemption. Thank you for the grace that you have shown to us even though, like I keep saying, we're the ones that messed all this up, Father, you still love us that much, and you want to have communion with us, and you want to have fellowship with us. Father, help us as we continue to walk this path. Father, as Christians, help us to be the light that you need us to be. And Father, if there's someone here today that has never accepted that gift, I pray that today would be that day. But Father, if not, that they would seek counsel either from myself or somebody here that they know. And Lord, that they can just help them understand what all this is about. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for these folks here. Father, once again, just help us to be obedient to your Spirit and his moving this morning. And we ask all these things in your name. If you would, stand with us. Once again, this is our invitation. The altar is open. Whatever you need, I'll be here.
Good morning. You all have a seat, because after me, David's going to come up and give you a little bit of an update. Rick made a comment about amazingly how God does things. Well, on my way this... David. How God does things. On our way to church this morning, I wanted to talk about sacrifice. And a passage that I want to talk about is John 15:13, that says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And I want you to think about that, because yesterday was 9/11. No greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Think about all of these professionals that laid down their lives for people they did not even know. Yesterday, I got to participate in a huge ceremony over in Washington County, and we honored the firemen, we honored the policemen, we honored those passengers on Flight 93 who sacrificed so our Capitol would not be destroyed. We honored military. We honored those who lost their lives. We honored the healthcare professionals, those doctors, those nurses. It's just amazing to think about laying down one's life for somebody else. But today I want you to think about September 12th. 20 years ago today, we had more unity in this country than we had ever had. We may not ever forget 9/11, but we have forgotten 9/12. So let us pray for the offering. During this week, I'm your duty deacon. please call me if there's something I could do, something we could pray about. But just call that number, and if I don't answer, leave a message. I'll get back to you, and you can also text as well. All right, let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, just thanking you for the sacrifice of your Son for us. Lord, I want to thank you for the sacrifice of those many Americans 20 years ago yesterday of that tragic event on 9/11. And Lord, I just want to ask you that today, on September 12th, I want you to help us find the unity in our country that we had 20 years ago. Lord, we've lost sight of you. We've lost sight of our purpose here on this earth that you laid out very clearly for us in the Bible. Lord, I just ask that you bless us. Lord, just help us find our way home. And Lord, as we prepare to take up our